I'm delighted to have Kathleen from Dot Sign Language. They're based in Woking and they teach deaf awareness and also British Sign Language. Kathleen is deaf, so her voice today will be voiced by Claire, who is her communication support worker. Welcome to Brooklands Radio, both of you. And I should explain that there will be a delay in between the questions and also answers because Claire and Kathleen are signing to each other. So, Kathleen, hello, welcome. Tell us about Dot Sign Language.
Dot Sign Language. It's a not-for-profit organisation. And it's got three areas. Firstly, we teach British Sign Language courses. Secondly, deaf awareness training. And thirdly, community work. So three things. Dot Sign Language developed from the Dorothy Miles Cultural Centre, the shorter name DMCC, and that was set up as a group back in 1997. It was a group of deaf people and deaf friends. It was set up to honour the famous deaf poet who was born in this area. And she was also a poet, she was also a writer and worked in the theatre and was a deaf activist. Dot also worked in America as well as the UK. Her poetry and her campaigning work influenced many people. Dorothy Miles influenced many deaf and hearing people to come together to learn and work together.
Is it easy to learn sign language?
It depends. People are different. Some people learn it quickly. Okay. You might find it easier if you tend to use more visual language or more gestures. Some signs are very visual and easy to learn. Things like having a drink, that's very visual, but other signs like sister are more arbitrary and harder to learn. We've got different courses, level 1, 2, 3, 4, and 6. So level 1, be like, hello, how are you? So that's quite easy. I mean, hearing people firstly have to get used to doing the hand shape and then look at facial expressions, and that can be quite difficult for hard people to take on board if they're not used to doing it.
Right, let's have a go at some sign language then. What can you teach me this morning?
What words would you like to know, Tim?
My name is Tim. Okay, so I've got two fingers. And I'm putting it towards my forehead, and they're flat against my... the other way around, like the brownies or the cubs. Yeah, and then I'm going down at about a 45-degree angle, straight down. Yeah.
So that... Your name, you have to fingerspell your name.
Okay, so that means my name, okay.
So there isn't a sign for your name, so we use fingerspelling.
Some people do have their own signs, don't they, for their names?
Yes. Maybe I'll give you Tim with radio headphones on. That'd be your new sign name.
Or a man with no hair.
Because you love the radio. Tim or Tim, radio Tim. Yeah.
Right, so we've got the two fingers, so we've moved it and we have to finger spell the
Sometimes
name.
We give individual people sign names. Maybe it's linked to your behaviour, your background, different things. So people would give you a sign name, sort of a name to match your personality.
Okay. Miserable. right.
Hi, buddy.
Okay. So can you? How do I spell my name in fingerspelling? So I'm pointing to my left hand with, okay.
So your vowels are your thumb and fingers of your non-dominant hand. So the I is your middle finger.
My non-dominant. Okay, yes. So my left hand. Yeah, okay. Yes, and I'm pointing to my Timmy Tool finger.
With your index finger. Pointing with your index,
That's it. That's it. Has to be with the index, okay. And then I'm pointing to the side of my hand. And then I'm pointing... And then I'm doing like the kind of...
So remember, those are your vowels on your non-dominant hand. And you're using it T-I.
T. So just to recap, so I'm pointing with my index finger to my left hand and the tool finger, Timmy Tool, as we say. And then I'm going to... I'm doing like a sort of... Using three
just
fingers
practice
against
again.
My,
practice again.
I'm a very slow learner, I have to say. Right. Okay, so I'm going to my edge of my hand. Okay, then I'm pointing to my Tommy Tall finger, and then I'm using three fingers and putting it against the...
you need to practice
Need to practice.
Practice your finger spelling.
Indeed, yes, exactly. And so that's how people get started with finger spelling then.
Maybe they'll start with, hello, how are you?
How do you do that then?
Then later, we'll mix up like your name, and then we'll go on to finger spelling. So we don't start off by teaching finger spelling all the time. We'd normally start with some meeting and greeting.
Okay, well, can we do hello then? Claire is waving. Is that...
So it's a wave, but also your facial expression.
Okay. And I'm just making...
So it's a welcoming facial expression. Well, hello.
Okay, and a wave of the hand as well. Okay. So it really does make a difference with the face.
Yes. Because quite often they're the same signs which mean different things, so you have to link it to your facial expressions, your gestures, your non-manual features to show what the sign means in that context. So if you're signing angry, you would do an angry facial expression to show your meaning.
Are you finding that more people are learning British Sign Language or becoming more deaf aware?
Yes, because lots of hearing people want to communicate with deaf people. They feel embarrassed that they can't communicate with deaf people. So they are trying to learn sign language. So the first step, they learn a little bit, then they get excited that they can communicate with deaf people. So maybe they've got deaf children, maybe they know deaf people from school. Around 95% of deaf children are born to hearing parents. So in that case, the hearing parents need to support the child. They need to think about schooling, how the deaf children are going to get access to education.
And what about lip reading then?
Yeah, lip reading is also called oralism. It means that deaf children are expected to learn to speak and how to lip read. Yeah, it's important that the deaf child has the option to choose whether they want to learn to communicate orally or through sign language. It's their choice.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. In the past, sign language was banned in deaf history. In 1880, there was the Milan Conference where sign language was banned for many years. But now, there is an improvement. Since 2010, there's been progress. But there's a lot of repression of sign language from the past. So we do need to improve things still.
Does modern technology help these days? I mean, is there still a need to learn British Sign Language?
Yeah, technology is changing all the time. I mean, first there were hearing aids, there were radio aids, and technology is progressing. Now we've got texts, everything's new. So deaf people can communicate with hearing people now through text, through FaceTime, different forms of social media such as email. I mean, think about when you go back to 1950, the hearing aids, they were big. I mean, but things progress. You know, there's videos and things. Maybe in the future Maybe we'll have sign language robots translating. You know, who knows? I think it's better communication now with hearing people. There's more awareness of people sort of looking at you in the eye, using their facial expressions. Yeah, things are progressing. I think lots of people are seeing sign language. Different variations. They see it in America, they see it in Israeli sign language, and it's opening their minds, and they're realizing that there's sign language all over the world. And there are differences in sign language all over the world.
Oh, the difference.
In the same way as spoken languages.
Oh, right. And different accents and dialects.
Okay. So you'd ask someone, why do you speak the language you speak? A French person would grow up in France and it'd be part of their culture. And it's the same with me. I've grown up signing and that's part of my deaf culture.
But you learnt Irish sign language, is that right? Is that?
Yes. Before I was growing up, I grew up and I learned orally, but also using Irish sign language. And I've got lots of deaf family, sisters and brothers. 8 of them are deaf and we all sign together. Before I used to teach Irish sign language, then I moved here to Britain and I learned BSL. Okay. British sign language uses the two-handed alphabet for finger spelling, two hands. In Ireland, we use one hand, the same as America. It's one-handed over there. That's because going back in deaf history, in Britain, the teachers were very secretive about how they taught the deaf children, and they didn't want to share their information. They kept it to themselves. So in America, the educators asked the British if they would help them teach, and they didn't want to help. So the Americans asked the French, who used one-handed finger spelling, and they were happy to help the Americans. And that's why in America, France and Ireland, we use one-handed finger spelling. In Britain, the educators didn't want to share their knowledge, but here we finger spell with two hands. Yeah, they wanted to keep it private, secretive, because they wanted the parents of the deaf children to pay for the education.
My goodness. Things have changed, and you're now doing more deaf awareness training in organisations. So which companies, which organisations have you worked with recently?
Before I only used to teach British Sign Language courses. Now I'm trying to diversify. And I'm contacting companies because they need to follow the Equality Act 2010. But I don't want to pressurise them. I don't want to push it. So I asked the companies, do you want to set up some training? Do you want some teaching? Do you want to learn how to communicate with the deaf? Maybe if you met a deaf person, a colleague, a customer, to improve that communication. We're trying to encourage it. We're not trying to put the pressure on, say, you must follow the law now, because it's a gentle encouragement. It's a relaxed training session. So it's a good opportunity for the staff to improve their communication and to feel comfortable communicating.
Who have you kind of worked with?
For example, Heathrow, the airport. We visited them. I was training them how to communicate with the deaf, the clients at the airport, the passengers. Other ones. There's a building company called Wilmot Dixon. Lloyds of London.
Oh my goodness, pretty big names.
They asked. Yeah, companies sometimes want to know, how do I book an interpreter? Then the staff really aren't sure how to do that kind of thing. Also, is how to improve communication in local GPs surgeries. Because one deaf patient complained after they had a bad experience and it made the reception staff realise that they needed to improve deaf awareness.
I was doing some research and I found that around 50% of deaf people don't go and see their GPs because of the communication issues. Which is staggering, actually, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. There's a There's a report called the Sick of It Report. And there's lots of information there. Deaf people are more at risk of some health problems than hearing people because it's harder to go to the GP and get quick treatment. So there's a real discrepancy in healthcare. Things like having diagnosis of high blood pressure, cancer. So deaf people are more at risk. The GPs do need to encourage more deaf people to come to the surgery. Yeah, the GPs need to be able to book interpreters so that the deaf people can communicate.
And it would be useful if people in the GP surgeries could learn or do some British Sign Language as well, I guess.
Yes, of course. Deaf people like to see more hearing people sign, like you, Tim.
I should try my best. I'm not very good. But...
And if you're in the pub, oh, just a bit of hello, how are you?
It makes all the difference.
Yeah.
Even if people just have a go.
Make a difference. People like... Yeah. Not to be frightened or nervous when they see a deaf person.
No, quite right.
For deaf children and their parents, their grandparents, or sisters and brothers, to learn to communicate with the child. It's really important. Mm. There is some funding available, but really we need more. It needs to be encouraged.
Yeah, and it'd be wonderful if everybody could learn some British Sign Language as well. So can you give us your website address then?
www.dotsignlanguage.co.uk.
Thank you. And you're based in Woking and you cover all of Surrey and London as well, I guess, with your deaf awareness courses.
Yeah, all over the southeast.